I'm support Katie Frankwitz. You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN.
For arts and entertainment.
We're starting
news
out
in the
today
Columbia
with
Pacific.
Regional news that
published
has a common
in the
theme:
Chinook Observer,
immigration.
Thursday historian,
we start with an update on the situation in Portland, where ongoing protests have drawn
support
national attention and threats by President Trump to
an
send troops
grocery
to
store
the city.
In Delhi,
a judge had
the
temporarily
there,
blocked this,
offering
but
fresh
now
produce
the Ninth Circuit
from
Court's
farmers,
latest ruling paves the way for the National Guard
products
to be deployed to
the
Portland.
Welcomes everyone.
But Oregon Governor Tina Kotek said Monday
C-O-O-P.
That does not mean troops will immediately
daily
be on the ground. Lauren Dake reports.
On Marine Drive.
There are still members of Oregon's National Guard stationed at Camp Rylea outside of Astoria, and members of California's National Guard are stationed in Clackamas County. But despite the latest appeals court ruling, those troops will not immediately be deployed to Portland. The Ninth Circuit's decision only applies to one of two temporary restraining orders blocking deployments. Governor Tina Kotek said that means nothing will immediately happen.
And at this point, until that second temporary restraining order is rescinded, troops cannot be deployed anywhere in Oregon at this point.
The governor said she continues to ask the Trump administration why troops are necessary. Kotek said she believes military intervention in Oregon is not needed. I'm Lauren Deke reporting.
Teachers in Woodburn, Oregon are looking for ways to bolster protection for staff and students as more U.S. immigration agents have been spotted in communities around the state. Woodburn has large Latino and Russian populations. Last week, the Woodburn Education Association proposed a new article for their ongoing contract talks with the school district. The article would add and solidify protections for licensed employees in case ICE officers target staff or their students. President of Oregon's statewide teachers union, Enrique Ferreira, attended the bargaining session in Woodburn.
Everybody should feel welcome to come to the classroom, meet their teacher, their educator, their bus driver, and learn. I mean, that's what helps us be a strong society.
Ferreira said troops and ICE raids cause disruptions that not only hurt students of color, but many other students trying to get an education. In response to the proposed article, Superintendent Juan Larios stressed the district's support of Oregon's sanctuary laws. As immigration enforcement has intensified, some farmers across the Northwest have concerns over staffing for harvest. But labor is just one of many concerns. NWPB's Johanna Bejarano and Yakima Herald Republic's Olivia Palmer have the final report in the Harvest at a Crossroads series.
The apple harvest is underway in the lower Yakima Valley. There have been no workplace raids in the region's fields, but targeted immigration enforcement is happening.
La gente está con el miedo.
That's Giovanni, a farm worker, who said people are scared. Eric Nicholson works with growers and farm workers as a consultant. He says people aren't going out as much because of immigration enforcement fears.
It is having a profound impact on the residents of the Yakima Valley and Columbia Basin right now, even without the experience of the mass deportations that we fear are forthcoming.
John Davani is the president of the Washington State Tree Fruit Association. He says labor is one of the biggest expenses for tree fruit growers, but not the only issue they face. In the orchards, a near-record apple crop had been predicted by the Washington State Tree Fruit Association, but more than 5 million fewer boxes of apples have been picked so far.
Knowing that there's an abundant supply, we'll be more selective about what we pick because we're skeptical that we're going to pay for our expenses or, you know, cover our expenses.
Earlier this month, the Trump administration announced changes to the H-2A program, cutting farm worker wages and allowing growers to deduct housing costs. The H-2A program allows workers from other countries to work in the U.S. seasonally. Nicholson says the changes could affect local workers, too.
There is fear amongst many that there will now be an economic incentive to hire H-2A workers over domestic workers, causing further displacement.
The U.S. Department of Labor estimates that the changes will save farmers more than $2 billion a year. And self-deportations have grown, making it harder for growers to find enough workers. So now, there are concerns about the nation's food supply.
Longer term, things are uncertain. Devani says tree fruit growers are dealing with international trade, water issues, immigration, and wages.
I've heard growers sort of say that, like, if anyone has the credibility to talk about putting people who are undocumented into a legal status, it would be this administration and this president.
Some farm workers groups and industry leaders, like the United Farm Workers Union and Washington Growers League, say the Farm Workforce Modernization Act would be a solution. Edgar Franks is with Familias Unidas por la Justicia. The union, based in Skagit County, has opposed that legislation and other bills that focus on bringing in more foreign workers. They call for amnesty.
If the growers all decided to say stop the deportations, I think the president would really consider it.
Franks says if growers really care about farm workers and their families, it's time to act. I'm Johanna Bejarano.
And I'm Olivia Palmer.
You're listening to KMUN. The federal government shutdown is nearing its fourth week. Congress remains gridlocked, and members of Oregon's congressional delegation are pointing fingers. OPB's Bryce Dole reports.
Oregon is home to nearly 30,000 federal employees. They work in the U.S. Forest Service, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, the National Guard, and more. Many of them remain furloughed without pay as Congress weighs a short-term spending bill that stalled in the U.S. Senate. Republicans need Democrats on board to pass it and reopen the government. Oregon Democrats are holding out over policies that they say would make health care unaffordable. Senator Jeff Merkley blames the Republican Party for the shutdown because they hold the power in Congress and the White House.
They're in charge. So it's very difficult to make the argument that this isn't their responsibility.
Senators will take up the bill again on Monday. I'm Bryce Dole, reporting.
Senators met on Monday but failed to pass a spending bill. Oregonians currently receiving food stamps could lose their benefits next month. That's if the federal government shutdown persists. On Monday, the state began notifying people enrolled in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, that they will not get benefits after October 31st. Benefits usually get deposited in people's accounts the first week of the month. If Congress comes up with a deal to fund the federal government, it's unclear how long it will take to turn SNAP benefits back on. More than 750,000 people receive SNAP benefits in Oregon. According to data from the state, in 2022, nearly 7,000 people in Clatsop County participated in the SNAP program, roughly 17% of the county's population. Some information in this story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. As the government shutdown continues, national parks are still being propped open, but they're not collecting entrance fees. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, concerns are growing about the long-term consequences.
The Trump administration is keeping parks open using recreation fees collected at entrances or campgrounds before the shutdown began. That pool of money is covering basic services like trash pickup and restrooms. But Emily Dowse with the National Parks Conservation Association says that's not what those funds are for.
They are for restoring campgrounds or restoring trails or doing deferred maintenance on facilities. That was what they're intended for.
The Government Accountability Office found it was illegal to use those fee dollars to keep parks running during the 2018-2019 shutdown. And Dowse worries draining these funds now could put future projects and maintenance at risk. Her organization estimates it could be costing $1 million a day to keep parks running this way. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The Trump administration announced changes to the H-2A visa program in early October, bringing down the pay for foreign agricultural workers. It's brought criticism from advocates who say workers already don't get paid enough. But some growers support the change. SPR's Murrow News Fellow, Monica Carrillo Casas, has more.
Enrique Castellum, CEO of the Worker and Farm Labor Association, says wage rates will fall by around $3 for entry-level H-2A workers in Washington state. The nonprofit is a network of growers that help connect farms with seasonal workers.
They just cannot keep up with the cost of running their farm.
Employers who are required to provide free housing will also be able to deduct some housing costs from wages. That will bring entry-level workers' hourly rate down to about $14. A spokesperson from United Farm Workers worries the lower wages could mean companies replace local workers with foreign-born employees. I'm Monica Carrillo Casas, reporting.
Washington State Patrol's toxicology lab does drug and alcohol testing for officials across the state. It's on track to get even more than its usual 18,000 cases this year, on top of a 17,000 case backlog. But as SPR's Eliza Billingham reports, the patrol thinks things are about to get better.
To complete a comprehensive report for an impaired driving case, it currently takes the state patrol lab about 22 months. The right to a speedy trial typically means cases have to go before a judge in 60 to 90 days. Elizabeth Guff is a division commander for the State Patrol. She told the Washington Traffic Safety Commission this week that the State Patrol Lab is hiring more full-time scientists to manage the caseloads. Plus, new one-time funding will hopefully streamline certain testing.
The laboratory is creating a small, high-throughput blood alcohol section. So that section is going to be dedicated exclusively to blood alcohol analysis, which is one of the most prevalent compounds that we see across all case types.
Guff says the growing polydrug movement, that is, the use of multiple illegal substances at the same time, is making caseloads more complex. She also says it takes up to 2 years to train scientists to manage complex cases. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
Starting next month, the Astoria City Council will be down one member. In early October, City Councilor Vance Lump announced he would be resigning effective November 1st after nearly a year on the City Council. He said he could no longer afford to continue living in Ward 4, the eastern stretch of Astoria that he represents. At a meeting last night, City Councilors needed to decide how they would go about finding his replacement. They could either make an appointment themselves or fill the seat through a special election. City Manager Scott Spence said county election officials estimated that preliminary costs for an election would be $6,000 to $8,000. Some city councilors were sure early on how they wanted to proceed. Lump and City Councilor Elizabeth Adams both said they preferred an appointment process to save time and money. Lump said he did not want Ward 4 to go without representation for many months. Mayor Sean Fitzpatrick and City Councilors Andrea Mazzarella and Andy Davis were more torn, saying they could see arguments for both approaches. Then it was time to vote.
Mr. Spence, it doesn't say there's a roll call here, but I wouldn't mind having a roll call.
Councilor Davis.
Aye.
Councilor Mazzarella.
Having a hard time deciding.
After a long pause.
Aye.
Councilor Adams.
Aye.
Councilor Long.
Aye.
Mayor Fitzpatrick.
Aye. And I would say that I have a hard time deciding too.
The City Council plans to discuss the appointment process at a special meeting on Wednesday at 6 p.m. At that meeting, they'll decide on a timeline, any criteria they have for applicants, and other details so people interested in applying for consideration have all the information they need. Whoever is appointed will fill out the remaining 3 years of Lump's term. Tillamook County commissioners discussed strategies to address major gaps in the budget at a recent work session. Last year, the approval of a new habitat conservation plan for Oregon State Forests cut into Tillamook County's share of timber revenues. The county now has a projected deficit of $2 to $3.6 million for the next 5 years, beginning in the 2025 fiscal year, which started in July 2024. The county plugged what ended up being a $2.5 million hole in that budget by using American Rescue Plan Act funds and by not filling staff positions. For the current budget, the county transferred $1.2 million from its revenue stabilization fund and moved $1 million from the Parks Department. This month, commissioners discussed trimming costs by continuing to delay on hiring for new positions. The county also hopes to increase the impact of transient lodging tax dollars, which have restrictions on their use. A measure in May to increase the county's transient lodging tax failed by just 12 votes. But State Representative Cyrus Javidi, a Tillamook Democrat, is pushing to change restrictions on how the money can be used at the state level. Tillamook County commissioners signaled they were not interested in pursuing other tax or fee increases that would impact county residents, except as a last resort. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN news team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenshin, news intern Sylvia Thorpe, and me, news director Katie Frankowitz. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening. That's all for us today. You're listening to KMUN.